on this play and still trying to get up and spike it? Is 14 the minimum, or do you go up?
I mean, we call it thresholds and your field position, what yard line you're at and what you're trying to get to, too, based on the defense that they're trying to, the defense that they were playing. They were in the sideline defense and they were protecting the sidelines. And so that was the best option to, you know, to be able to get the ball. I mean, it's like anything else. Do you want to be running the Hail Mary play from the 50-yard line, or do you want to be running five verticals from the 25-yard line? So that's the decision. It's the right decision. And it's just like anything. It's, you know, the execution between us and the officials putting the ball obviously wasn't intent. We shouldn't have had any problem getting the ball spotted there.
Well, I mean, if your quarterback who's sneaking it on, you know, with 14 seconds remaining, the quarterback draw, it's not a sneak, it's a draw. Middle of the field's wide open. Instead of handing the football to the center, if he hands it to the umpire like he's supposed to, then maybe he gets the ball spotted. The umpire touching the ball, moving it around or whatever, like, I mean, I don't know about that, but you know, Dak Prescott's down with 8 seconds. You got to get everybody to the line of scrimmage. It was very, very confusing that was the play that they decided to go with. Clock was clearly at zeros when the ball was snapped.
Well,
so.
Yeah, but they went with that play because they were thinking, you know, we have a better shot of Dak throwing the ball 25 yards than 50.
Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense on why you'd want something. I couldn't figure out why the San Francisco 49ers were giving up the sidelines on that final drive, and they did so over and over and over again. And then, you know, you get the ball to the 50 or whatnot, and then Dak decides, you know, and they decide they're going to scramble there. I just don't know, man. That play call right there is rough because there's so much you have to have go right at the end of that football game in that position, right? I mean, you have to be able to, one, the quarterback's got to draw. He's got to slide. You got to get the ball to the umpire. You got to get everybody on the line of scrimmage set, and then you got to snap and clock it, and you got to hope that all those things go right. That's a risky gamble. And I just don't know in that position why you're not trying to – I mean, I get going to the middle of the field, both out of timeout. It's just that's tough. Now, the umpire did, you know. I will say that even in the prior, earlier on in the game, around like the 13-minute mark or whatever, the umpire having, you know, struggling to, you know, spot the ball and get it down and end up costing a delay of game. But as Ryan pointed out earlier, you know, you're going to get the delay of game if you're substituting late. There was just a ton of blunders, and this is the play that everyone's going to focus on. But what I really think should be focused on in that football game is the fact that the Dallas Cowboys, throughout the course of this game, one, I thought, you know, San Francisco definitely, you know, punched them in the mouth early, looked much more ready to play. San Francisco ran the ball right at Dallas, and Dallas couldn't stop it. Dallas paid all that money to that running back, and as soon as they fed him, he disappeared, right? Ezekiel Elliott. Is, I mean, 21 rushing attempts as a team for 77 yards. That's not great. You know, Jimmy G versus, you know, heads up against Dak Prescott. You know, when you look at their numbers, but if you're going to have 14 penalties for 89 yards, that's crippling. Right? I mean, that's you just can't do that. By the way, Jim just he just liked my tweet, so I don't know if that means that he's ready to dial in or not, but Dan, you might want to if you want to holler at him. I don't know if you're texting him or working via social media. But when you look at that football game there between the Niners and the Cowboys, everyone's going to make a big deal out of it. Like Jimmy Garoppolo was 16 of 25 and threw an interception. Dak was 23 of 43 for 254, one touchdown, one pick. What was maybe a key difference here? Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't sacked at all. Dak Prescott was sacked 5 times. You know, you got to be able to. Oh, Jim said he's been waiting on the call, Dan.
I don't have his phone number.
Oh.
I've emailed him that I don't have his phone number, but.
Oh, there we go. So that was the issue. I was wondering what was going on, but hey, it's live radio. These things happen. I just sent him our digits so that. I got his number now, so I can forward that to you, Dan. That'll be great. But when you look at the game and you look at the playoffs, a couple of things need to happen, right? You have to be able to take care of the football. You have to be able to limit your penalties. You can't hurt yourself. And all throughout the game, if you listen to the broadcast, Romo was talking about the entire time, hey, they keep shooting themselves in their foot, in their own foot. Like, you just, you can't have those types of things happen. And that's what really was the death of Dallas there. It was a really good football game. Now, the last couple of minutes of that football game felt like it took like 3 hours to play, you know, between, you know, then you had the spot of the ball with Debo Samuel for Dallas to even get the ball back. Dallas probably shouldn't even have got the ball back. Like, you know, the 49ers got to be able to convert in that situation. But one of the better games, I mean, the Bengals-Raiders was a good game. And I watch, you know, you watch them all because they're on. But the Bills-Patriots, I think that watching that one was more or less just having fun with the Buffalo Bills, exercising those demons. Let's get now to Jim Nagy talking a little bit about the Reese's Senior Bowl. Jim, my friend, thank you so much for taking the time. A little live coordination here on the radio. I love when that happens. How are you, partner? Thanks for taking the time this morning.
I'm good, guys. Yeah, it's good to be back up.
Now, when we're looking at the Reese's Senior Bowl, it's going to be the Lions and the Jets that are going to be the coaching staffs for the Senior Bowl. Can you walk us through, for our listeners that don't know how that process takes place, walk us through what that's like and how it was originally formulated and determined who would be the coaches for this game?
Yeah, the league office handles that. You know, it's kind of one of those hidden mechanisms for parity in the league, which makes us all like the NFL so much. That's why this weekend was so popular. I just remember growing up a Lions fan in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s, and I'd watch that NFL film video on ESPN in August, and I thought the Lions were going to the Super Bowl every year. So this is just one of those ways that where the league, you know, creates their competitive balance, and they start with the draft order for our game. So they just start at the top. The only caveat is that you need a full staff down here in Mobile to coach the game. So obviously that took the Jaguars out of the running this year. They went down to Detroit. Detroit accepted. They got to Houston at number three. They were working through the coaching thing. They've since let David Culley go. So the Texans passed, and then they got to the Jets at four, and the Jets accepted. So that's how we end up with our team.
Now, Jim, you spent 18 years as an NFL scout. What kind of advantage is it for these coaching staffs to be able to dedicate some of their time, you know, away from what would be the normal off season, if you will, to be able to go down to Mobile here for the Reese's Senior Bowl and then to be able to have the hands-on coaching? What kind of advantage is that for these staffs?
Yeah, it's a definite advantage. And that's why teams want to, you know, usually jump at it. Every team can be in the stadium, and we allow three guys from every club down on the field. So that's usually like head coach, GM, personnel director, or coordinator, you know, to be right up in the drills and everything on the field. But if you're down there and you're paying attention and you're watching these guys get coached and, you know, who's bouncing back after a bad rep and who's not, who's taking a coaching point and who's not, you know, there's so many takeaways if you got your eyes open and your ears open. But what the teams that participate get is all the behind-the-scenes stuff, which is really valuable. I think the longer you scout, the easier the tape part of it is. It's much easier to figure out the player than the person. And I think, you know, eating three meals a day with them, seeing them in meeting rooms, you know, just seeing them interact with their teammates, how they learn, all those things are really the most beneficial for these teams. And all you got to do is look back a couple years ago at the 49ers, you know, came down here coaching our game. I think they were drafting four that year. And, you know, they went from Mobile to Miami. Miami was in that Super Bowl the next year, and they totally flipped it. So, you know, out of that draft, they got Debo Samuel and Javon Kinlaw in the first round. So you can really turn your fortunes around with a good week down here in Mobile.
You know, Jim, we've seen over, you know, recent memory in the recent history here that because of the college football playoff, we've seen more and more guys opt out of the traditional bowl games to declare for the NFL draft and start preparing for that and basically mitigate their opportunity at injury. What has the response been when you guys are reaching out to players, and how do you go through, what's your process like, you know, for who would qualify in your eyes to get an invitation to the Reese's Senior Bowl, and how receptive are these guys?
First part is we, you know, we handle our business here just like an NFL team would. We have a personnel department. We start right after our game. We'll take a couple weeks off here in February to recharge the batteries, and then we'll jump on 2023. So we'll be watching tape all through the spring and the summer. I'll put a staff together in August of former NFL scouts, you know, guys that get let go in this hiring cycle, that want to do something next fall, and stay attached to it. This year we had 120 years of NFL experience. across the country with 7 different scouts. And then we just, you know, we'll be at games every Saturday. We'll be watching tape all week, and just like a personnel department would. But, yeah, we have not faced the same challenges that the bowl system has. We only had 3 seniors that have declined our invites this year, Aiden Hutchinson being one, Chris Olave, the receiver from Ohio State, 2, and Jordan Davis, the defensive tackle from Georgia, is the 3rd one. So, no, our success rate in terms of getting these guys to come down here it has not been affected by the injury and things like the bowl game. And again, I grew up watching the bowl system with my dad. You know, I used to love New Year's Day. It was one of my favorite days of the year. And I know fans bristle at that, the fact that some of the best players are opting out. But I look at it through the prism of, well, what would it be if that were your brother or your, you know, your son, and you've seen him work all those years of hard work to go play in like the 55th bowl game for a school. It happened a couple of years ago with Chase Winovich at Michigan. He was the only guy at Michigan that played in the Peach Bowl against Florida, and he broke his foot. Couldn't come to the Senior Bowl. The difference here, we've got almost 1,000 NFL people in town evaluating these guys, really determining the fate of their careers. That's what makes it so much different from an actual bowl game. So, keep our fingers crossed. So far, so good when it comes to, guys choosing not to play in our game because of injury.
Jim, it really does seem like the Reese's Senior Bowl has picked up, across, and I don't know if it's because of social media now that, you know, more people are more aware, but it does seem like this game, especially for football fans, is gaining more and more traction, and people are really, I mean, that date in February, it's something that people are really looking forward to. Like, they're excited for February 5th. They want to watch this game. It seems like the interest level amongst the fan base has grown as the Reese's Senior Bowl grows.
Yeah, social media has played a big part. There's no doubt. That was part of our strategy when we got here 4 years ago. Just looking at the numbers, 4 years ago, we were at just a little over 15 million impressions for the calendar year of 2018. And this year we were north of 350 million eyeballs. So that's significant. You know, just when we announced the Lions and Jets staff, you can see the fan base is really diving into this. We saw it last year, a huge uptick last year with Carolina and Miami, those 2 fan bases. And the fact that it was on the ticker the other night, I got home from work and it was on the ESPN ticker who the coaching staffs were. That certainly wasn't happening 3 or 4 years ago. So I think in any business, you always look at little indicators of that you're growing and you're building. And I think the awareness of our game, it's always been something that the NFL has looked forward to and really valued as probably the biggest piece of the pre-draft process, you know, even more so than the combine. But I think fans are catching up to that.
Yeah, and if you're looking for little signs of growth, yeah, being able to see Reese's Senior Bowl coaches selected and seeing the scroll across the bottom line of ESPN, I would say that works very much so in terms of, hey, guess what? People are much more cognizant of what's going on down here outside of the NFL world. We're starting to get those fan bases now more and more involved. And, you know, this is, Reese's in the Senior Bowl taking maybe a leadership role here as well with this minority coaching fellowship program that they have installed as well. Can you tell us what exactly that is, the importance of it, and how the response has been kind of across the football landscape as you try to get some of the HBCU coaching staffs assigned to this project?
Yeah, that's been a big goal. I appreciate you asking about that. Yeah, the last couple of years, my predecessor at the Senior Bowl, Phil Savage, the former GM of the Cleveland Browns, had a really cool program. It was a scout school program. The only thing that we've changed over the last couple of years is we just opened it up to former NFL players. Just all my time in the league, I felt like there was a real need for more players in the profession, more minorities in the profession. And then this summer, when it comes to these coaching staffs, had a good call over the summer, some good back and forth with the league office of Troy Vincent out there. And we talked about this. We talked about, shuffling the coaching staffs a little bit. You know, so Dan Campbell won't be the head coach down here in Mobile. It will be someone on his staff. He will appoint somebody, whether that's, maybe that's Deuce Staley, who's his assistant head coach. But that's going to create more opportunities for coaches within the staff and give them more career development. And then, adding 4 HBCU coaches in the week was big. We're going to put 2 on each side, and that's going to expose them to the NFL world. You know, we've got the first ever HBCU Combine event, which is going to be, patterned directly after what goes on in Indianapolis. It's gone on years in Indianapolis. We're going to have that here in Mobile for the first year, and this will be the first time we have these coaches. So just trying to do what we can do. Our game's had a great platform for a lot of years. This is our 73rd Senior Bowl, and we're just trying to do everything we can on the diversity hiring front to help what the league's trying to do.
And one of those big names within the Minority Coaching Fellowship Program for the recent Senior Bowl is a Michigan legend in Tyrone Wheatley, who is a head coach who's going to be on the sidelines there working with the Lions and the Jets and be around that. So for Michigan fans, there's a familiar name there. As we get ready for the Senior Bowl coming up February 5th, and obviously you can follow Jim on Twitter at JimNagy_SB. You can follow the Reese's Senior Bowl as well at Senior Bowl. As we get ready for this game, I've noticed, Jim, that you've been putting out a lot of these one-liners, if you will, as the staffs went through like a draft process, if I'm not mistaken, and they were able to kind of select their teams. You've been going through and trying to, you know, make sure that the fans kind of are aware, you know, as we go through like the positions who have been selected, you know, a little bit on each guy.
Yeah, it's a year-round process for us. All we're trying to do is get them up to speed a little bit. So yeah, when it comes to the rosters, we made those rosters here internally. We split those up. Again, the main goal of the rosters is competitive balance. I think once all these position groups are released, you'll see that they're very equal rosters. We'll be releasing offensive line later this morning. So if you're a Lions fan, you want to see what group you're going to be working with, check out our Twitter. But yeah, and Brad Holmes had the first pick. Sent both rosters to the GMs, Joe Douglas and Brad Holmes. They got to review those rosters over the last weekend, and Brad got his pick of rosters because they had the higher draft slot. So that's how that worked. It wasn't a full draft. Brad just got his selection. But yeah, it's been fun. We're just trying to get Lions fans excited about it. You know, again, with the one-liners, it's just a quick, hey, you turn on practice on NFL Network or ESPN during our week, you're going to have a little cheat sheet on what these guys are all about.
Are you allowed to, was it announced? I didn't see, but was it announced who the first pick was by Brad Holmes? Are we allowed to know that information, or is that hidden?
Well, they weren't picked. I created both rosters, American National, and then he picked the roster.
Got you. Okay. All right. I thought maybe we were going guy by guy, and I was like, wow, that's a lot of work.
No, that would have been, yeah, that's too much. I don't think the GMs would have enjoyed that process. So no, we make the rosters here internally. We do go through, there was one trade made that kind of, you know, the two GMs looked at the rosters based off team needs right now. There was one swap that happened. And the trades can be difficult because one of the goals of the rosters is that we keep the teammates together. You know, if someone wanted to trade a Cincinnati player, I think they've got six guys in the game, seven guys in the game. Georgia has eight. You try to trade for one of those guys, now you've got half the roster shifting with them. So usually it's like a one-for-one trade or a two-for-two trade. So this year it's just one trade.
Gotcha. Last one here for you, Jim. We thank you so much for your time this morning. Because you spent so much time in the NFL and obviously this bowl game getting ready for the NFL, real quick, who's your favorite to win the Super Bowl this year?
Ooh, that's a good one. You know, I don't get to watch a lot of NFL these days. It's strictly college day, but I would say Green Bay. You know, that was my first job in the league out of Michigan in 1996. I went up there, and we were lucky enough to win the Super Bowl that year. I just think it's hard to get through Lambeau in January.
There he goes, Jim Nagy. You can find him on Twitter at JimNagy_SB, a Michigan alum, 18 years in the NFL as a scout. Jim, my friend, thank you so much for the time this morning, my man. We greatly appreciate you. Looking forward to the Senior Bowl in February.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Thank you.
For Dana, Ryan, and Anthony, so long. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place, right here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Time to let the little ones get all of that energy out. Big Air Trampoline Park inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall has your little ones covered with toddler time. Each Wednesday and Thursday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., open only for jumpers 6 and under, the little ones can jump at their own speed and comfort level without the older kids around. It's a safe, fun outlet for your toddler's energy, and they'll feel right at home on all of the attractions. Plus, they'll have the best nap ever afterwards. Big Air Columbus, where the fun never ends. Visit BigAirUSA.com/Columbus for details.